What's up, my beautiful people? It's your girl Remy here. How are you? How are you doing? I first have to apologize for taking so long to give you the finale of the relationship series because, man, it's long overdue. And I have some reasons. The week it was supposed to come out, I was not feeling it. And I was speaking to my friend and he's like, I shouldn't do it if I don't feel it because I might finish recording. I won't like what I did. And plus, I'm not just supposed to record just like that. So I decided to chill. And I told myself, okay, since I couldn't meet up with the week I was supposed to do, I did next week. And that next week, I happened to travel. And where I traveled to, there was no network, not even for calls, let alone uploading something on the internet, on the metaverse. So I'm back home where the network is. I used to think it was manageable, but after my journey, I thank God for the network. I'm grateful for it. Sometimes you don't really know the importance of some things until you don't have them. Yes, a lot of times God lets us as humans go through some things for us to be able to appreciate other things better, things that we look down on. That being said, I apologize for stalling. I know that you guys would understand with me, seeing that I've given you people the reason why the podcast was not out since. But yay, we are back. And we're going to be giving you the finale of the relationship episode. And I think you should already know what we're going to talk about today. Yes, it's the friendship episode on the relationship series. The finale. We'll talk about friendships. We'll talk, just say some things about it. If you've been listening to me for a while, if you've been following me for a while, you will know that I'm all about friendships because... Please play me Burna Boy 23 because what my eyes have seen, my mouth cannot really finish saying it. And even if I continue to do episodes on friendship from now till tomorrow, till Jesus comes, it's not going to be enough for what I have seen and what I have faced. You feel me? But we'll try our best to just say some things. And we would give some tips and we'll answer some questions. I asked that you guys send in some questions that you feel like I could provide the answers to. From any of the series, I also asked that even as we are going to be talking about friendships today, you could send in any question you want to ask on friendships. So people sent in some questions. I picked some and then, yeah, we'd answer them. We'll try our best to, do justice to it. So come with me on this fun ride. Amen. Okay. So what is friendship? Friendship to me is, I think that friendship is something that is very special, is very sacred between people. Even though some people don't understand, I think the beauty about just saying, even though people are beginning to grow up and understand that it's not everybody that's your friend, but when you ask by default, when you are asked who someone is to you, by default, you just call them your friend. And that word is very sacred, at the same time, it's very abused. This is me defining everything I can or I can say on what friendship is, so to say. And I hope that at the end of this episode, you are able to know where you fall and know the right things to do and what to do better and what not to even do at all. I think friendship cannot just be defined. I think friendship goes beyond the dictionary definition. I think it is deeper than that. And I think that is something that should be done with utmost intention. And I also think that friendship is relative. So I'm going to leave the floor open in your head, seeing that it's a really very relative question to ask what friendship is. It's very relative. Everybody has their own peculiar definition to what friendship is, so to say. So let's say that I've defined friendship and then you might not be satisfied what I just said. Or what I have said about friendship, you might just fix in what you feel friendship is to you, since it's relative. I feel friendship is very beautiful, very special. If it is done in the right way and with right people and with like minds on different levels. There are work friends, there are school friends, there are roommate friends, they are just mere friends, mere acquaintances and stuff. There are levels to friendship. That's one I am really sure of. Just have to know who and who is that friend or not that friend. But I just want to know, do people really know what they are doing in this friendship thing? Do people really know? Oh, I did forget to give you guys your rant. There's no rant so to say. I just day on chill. It's been blessings all blessings for the past 2 weeks. It's been kind of like an eye-opener in like a very good way, not a bad way, in a very subtle way. It came to me in a calm way, opened my eyes to some things, helped me realize some things I wasn't doing well, or some things that I saw I thought that we were right, but they actually were not. I met new people. Yeah, I met amazing people. I met not so amazing people. And in my process of meeting people, I was able to practice everything that I have learned, both through the hard way or the easy way. I practiced my way of grouping people. Like, I've met people that got on my nerves. And I also practiced how to handle when people get on my nerves. It was so nice. You know, sometimes, that's why sometimes you need to go out. Sometimes in your head, you feel like, oh, you have a hank or something. But until you practice it and you see how well you do with some things, you really don't know how good you are with it. I think that's why we do exams in school. Even though many of us are not happy with the uncle that created the exam. Because who sent you? Anyways, it was fun. It was good. I was able to practice all of this, particularly what we're about to talk about today. I mean, I was able to say, oh, this person is not somebody I want to be a friend. This person is just somebody I know. Oh, I like this woman. Oh, I like that man. Oh, okay. This person can sit in this position in my life. Oh, I already from the beginning already drew boundaries. Because I'm this kind of person that I used to let people, even though I'm seeing the signs from the beginning, I used to let people do what they want in my life or set ground rules in my life. But they don't let me set ground rules in your life. Hence, I end up being hurt. But I've learned my lesson from the past. And then, I no longer do that any longer. So, today, I was asking before I quickly said that about the rant and whatnot. There was no rant. It's just all vibes and all. I'm like, do people really know what they are doing with each other, friendship-wise? You know, we spoke about relationships the last time. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what thing they really happen in that relationship aspect? But I feel like, you know, I said it last time that I don't know if I really said it, but friendships are supposed to like span out, or relationships are supposed to span out from friendship. You're supposed to be able to know if you want to take the next step with that person first by being friends with them. So that's why I'm asking, like, look at your friends, look at the people that are in your first circle one. Because I know some people can want to go, I'm saying, my circle is so, I don't have a circle, it's a dot. All those tweets and stuff that we used to catch crews on WhatsApp and all of that, or on Twitter or Snapchat. We are being factual here, we are being serious. No matter how much you want to come and catch crews, you have a circle. You have a circle. Whether you're oblivious about it or you're not just so conscious about it, you have a circle. So if you want to look deep and you want to find out, really, what are you people doing? Do you have business friends? Do you have friends that you discuss things with? Or everybody just there? See, I've said this and I'll always continue to say that this is not the decade where you just mess around or you joke around. This is the decade you get serious. I was telling my dad that this is the decade I will get married. This is the decade that your first 3 or 4 children are gonna get married. Like, do you get? So try to start treating me with respect. But for real though, what are you people doing? Like, look at your close friends. Evaluate. What are you people doing? In the last 5 years, how many friends have you cut off? How many people have you seen that, okay, this person is like this, and I don't want this for myself, and I'm taking a walk respectfully. Or this person maybe does not really deserve to take a walk yet. It's something that we can trash and talk about. And after the whole conversation and dialogue, I know where to put them and I know how to readjust my boundaries with them. What are you doing in your friendships? Do you just go on and continue like that? People are always doing New Year resolutions and stuff. Do you do friendship resolutions every time? It doesn't always have to be at the end of the year. It can happen anytime, quite spontaneous. I'm the kind of person that works with serendipity and it's really, really, really nice for me because I feel like being overly structured and so principled in life is not going to get me anywhere. If you're a very principled person, please do your thing. Oh, me, I feel like most times being so rigid does not help me. And seeing because of how I was raised, so much rules and stuff. So for me to ease my mind, being not so controlled, so to say, I don't know, for lack of words, has helped me be a better person, less panic attacks, less stress and anxieties and stuff. So, but if you're somebody that works with being so rude, and that does not mean I don't have standards and rules, I said though, but it's not just so harsh on me and rigid like it probably used to be. So what are people doing? I think some people used to feel like if it does not end in a fight, or if you don't, I've seen some people say, if you people don't fight, then it's not a friendship, or you people are just deceiving yourselves. I think we've all heard that a lot, but I kind of frown at it, because does that statement mean that we should always try to create a scenario to fight so it's somebody's real color? And also, why is it always that it's always when there's a bad thing that is somebody's real color? Because, excuse me, my love, their real color is always there from the first time you ask them what their name is. Or once you know who they are, you ask them, oh, what's your favorite color? Oh, how are you? From that first, how are you? The signs are there. It's your choice to want to pay attention from day one or from day 127. It's your choice. That's why I'm asking, what are you doing? It doesn't always have to be a fight, you know? It doesn't always have to be a fight. It does not. Because I feel like everybody's supposed to already have sense. Like, nobody can tell me that in their lives they've not just had one friend that's giving them a lot of friendship heartbreak and stuff. Enough for you to know that, okay, you know what, I don't want to go through any of this anymore. I am so done. Bye, Felicia. I hope that with what I've said, if you didn't know what you were doing to your friendships, you start reevaluating, ask questions. Ask your friends questions and stuff, so that you know what you're doing. So you know whether this person you're placing on a high pedestal is even doing half of what you're doing for them. So you're not going to lose guard. Do you have friendship boundaries? Do you set boundaries with your friends? Do you talk about the boundaries? Are they aware? Because sometimes in your head, yeah, you can set a boundary for somebody. Or be like, maybe somebody has done something, you're like, no. In your head, you're like, no, this person, no. Okay, I've removed you from point A. I'm shooting you back to P. Because maybe from there, I'll start watching you. Maybe I will choose to put you back in R, or put you in B or C or J. Do you get? So I feel like for friendships to thrive, you have to set boundaries. Boundaries are very important. So one of the things I've said is I usually use questions to place my points out. So one of the things I've said is know what you are doing with each other, ask questions, set boundaries, and also make your boundaries flexible. Flexible only when you're just trying to get to know them. Only when you're first trying to get to know them. Like if you're trying to get to know somebody, you might not be really so sure. But once you've gotten to know them, you understand the kind of persons they are, that's who they are, and that's it. Place them where they're supposed to be. Don't place somebody who maybe you're so caring, you love the person so much, you care so much about them, and then you realize that in your head, you see, there's one thing I used to do that causes my heartbreak that I realized not too long ago that causes my friendship heartbreak, is that I create a scenario in my head about friendships, about friends, the friends that come my way. I'm already creating this scene in my head so much that it overshadows the truth that is in my front. And when the truth is shouting, it's like I've already put it on mute. Like it's visual, it's there, I can see it, but I already turned down the volume to zero. So I'm only hearing, and then my thoughts and the dreams and imaginations I'm creating in my head are just like loud enough. So there's like it's like noiseless something. Like something that's like, hey, hi, look at me here, I'm seeing you. And you can't really, like, you're seeing, yeah, you're like, what are you saying? But because you've turned the volume down, you don't really know what's going on. So I don't know if anybody else does the same thing that I do, but whenever I come across somebody, maybe when I meet a new acquaintance, I'm always so excited. I'm always so elated. I'm always like, oh wow, a new friend, because I usually do not have friends. People, I've been bullied, I've been shitted on, I've been treated, think of anything you can, growing up as a child and stuff. So it made me kind of like keep to myself. So when I felt like, you know what, fuck this, I want to have friends, I think I went about it the wrong way. What was the wrong way? I started creating scenes in my head. Like when I meet somebody, I just fall in love with that. Oh hi, that first greeting and, you know, familiarity and stuff, I just assume that that's who they are. So I'm just creating things that, oh, this person will go out to do this, we'll have friendship goals just like this person, and da da da. Meanwhile, the signs are there staring at me that no, not this person. The person is who you are going to do that friendship goal with is coming very soon. Let me give you guys a story of one woman, one auntie, one very big auntie that I met in my journey that I traveled. You know, I like giving you people stories now. And I know the podcast is not complete if I don't give you stories. So, we happened to stay in the same room. It was my cousin's house. So, I happened to be in the same room with her. And then, she's that kind of... You know, that there are these aunties that their vibes are automatically, there's conversations and stuff. So, prior to that conversation, I was in a car. I went out in a car with her. And me, I don't usually know how to jump and bend into conversations. As much as I'm a conversationist, I don't know how to start up conversation. But if you start it and it's a sensible topic, why not? So she sparked up a conversation in the car. And I was like, wow, this auntie is so cool. Like, she's really cool. I like her. Not like all these people that used to carry age on their head. Like, she does not really send. So she sparked up a conversation. Like, ah, she's cool and stuff. I'm like, okay. Let's see how this goes. So the next day, when the room together, I think we're arranging, or she was trying to arrange her stuff, she just sparked up another conversation. I'm like, okay. So she was telling me about how one of her very close friends, who they've known each other for over 20 something years, her friend's son is getting married, and like, she's the second mother because of how close they were. They gave birth to all the children in her hands and stuff. And she was telling me, and it was so nice. She was showing me pictures. I was loving it. And something sparked up in my mind, and I told her, and we had a conversation, but I told her that there's something that this our generation, or even me myself, I've made a mistake about, and I've come to realize just from this conversation. Guess what I told her? I told her that we see friendship goals, we see relationship goals, we are so excited that we want it, that we just want it with just anybody. I have made the mistake of wanting to have the kind of long year friendships. Like my mom is not the type to keep friends, but you see the ones that she has. You see the ones that, the one, let me just say the one that I know that I feel quite respect, that I know that the respect and love goes both ways. It's not something that they told me, something that I have seen with my eyes. And the love extended to even us, my mom's friends' children, is something I have seen. So I've seen how my mom is with her. She could be her best friend. They don't even call themselves best friend anymore. They call themselves sisters. And this auntie too that I was speaking to in my cousin's house, she calls that woman her sister. It has grown beyond a friendship. They now call themselves sisters. So, you know, I told you guys about at first how I didn't have friends, and I imagine transitioning from somebody who was a loner and a sadist and wanting to just wake up one morning and be like, okay, I want to have friends too. I didn't know how to go about it. So I thought the way I was going about it was the right way. Because I had seen how some adults around me have built bonds of over 20, 30 years, and the love and everything is still strong and stuff. And I felt like, oh, I want the same thing for myself. So I feel like I meet somebody, and because of how quote-unquote nice they are, or quote-unquote accommodating they are, I think that, oh, I can build the same thing that my mom has, or this my auntie has with her friend. I can build it with them too. Forgetting to always focus on the first. I didn't do any schooling with them. I didn't examine them. I didn't study them. I think some people say builded. I know you guys are going to laugh at me. But I just built like a facade in my head. Like, I just built it, and then I ignored the signs. And she told me, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. She said, see, who is going to be your friend is going to be your friend. And who is not going to be your friend is not going to be your friend. She said, when the signs come, don't ignore it. because the signs always be there. Like, we had this very heart-to-heart conversation of under 10 minutes, and then it made me realize the wrong that I've been doing to myself, how I've been hurting myself for a very long time, because I wanted what, like, it's like you look at something from afar and you admire it and you just want to get it by all means. Instead of you to find out what it takes to get it, you just want to get it by all means with anybody and anyone. I think there are some people are in wrong marriages today and wrong friendships, and they are so scared. They don't know how to live because the moment they realize, they feel it's too late. See, it's never too late though. It's never too late to walk out of a friendship, because I've realized that somebody might be really good, but they are not good to you. Somebody can be really nice and loving, and they are not actually nice and loving to you. Somebody can be truthful to the whole world. They can be truthful to anybody, make believe, like, so much that they are not truthful to you. And then when you try to tell somebody that this is what this person is doing to me, it's so hard for them to believe, because they're like, no, not this person. They are not like this. It's going to be so hard. But I tell you that one person cannot treat you the same way they treat another person. Nobody has the same equal amount of love in everybody's heart. Let's say I have a friend, I have John, and I have Mercy. I cannot have the same equal amount of love I have for John as for Mercy. It's not possible. It's not even possible. God does not even love all of us equally. God loves everybody, but if you read your Bible, you will see that there are some people that God loves. Look at David. What did God call David? God called David a man after his heart. Please, who committed the most atrocities? David. David, but he was still a man after God's heart. How? Quite mysterious. Even though some of it are quite obvious, but it's just something that just grew. So I've come to understand that somebody can be treating me really nice and I love them. At the same time, I can be treating somebody really shitty too. And there's nothing that I can do about it, because I'm not in that person's shoes and I don't understand. So most times, most of us make the mistake of seeing a friendship that has been built over years or is still being built out of sacrifice and stuff, because it is the right person, it will thrive. See, if you are building a friendship that is not with the right person, it cannot thrive no matter what you do. Because if you are the only one putting in the effort, yeah, it cannot thrive. It has to be two ways. One person, if they do work where two persons supposed to do, you know, they possibly, it will slow down stuff. I think some of us have done economics. You feel me? So I'm like, this woman really spat sense into my mind directly. And she was just having a just natural conversation. Let's not be like, the room is so dry and boring and stuff. She said so much that when they went to meet the in-laws, they told him that this her boy, has two mothers. And if his second mom is not here, we can't do anything. So imagine that type of bond, that type of friendship, relationship. Is it that they don't fight? She told me that they fight or they disagree, they argue. In fact, one of them is even older than the other. But all of that does not really matter. I'm also trying to tell you that what you used to gauge or what you used to measure your friendship is not what I should use to measure my friendship. But above all, some elements are very important. There must be respect. There must be love. There must be truthfulness. I've been saying so. I was having a conversation with my mom and I'm like, I've realized the kind of person I am over from December up until now, that I don't like when people lie to me. I'm the kind of person who I will find out the truth. I'll find out that you've been lying to me. And I'll still give you like benefit of doubt 2, 3, 4 times to still lie to my face. So that when I'm actually really done with you, there's nothing that anybody on earth can say to make me change your mind. See, you can do anything to me. You can shout at me. You can even fight. You can beat me because I don't know how to fight. Really, mouth I have. You can do whatever it is that you want to me. But don't lie to me. I think that's my friendship breaker. That's what breaks my friendship. That's what breaks the tie for me. I don't know. Maybe somebody can betray your trust. Or somebody can steal from you. Some people you can be stealing. I mean, you can take my stuff without my permission. You can steal it. I can forgive you. But I'll just readjust my boundaries with you. We can still kind of be friends, but not so close. But the moment you lie to me, and I find out, and I confront you about that lie, and you are still lying to me, we're done. I won't even have a conversation with you. Maybe on any other issue, yeah, I can say, this and this and this and this. But the moment I found out that you lied to me, we're done. we're done, like we're torn. I won't even say anything to you. I just pack up my bags and walk away. I'll leave you to be smart enough. Since you are smart enough to lie to me, I'll leave you to be smart enough to actually realize that this is the reason why I actually walked away. And if you are dumb not to know that this is what you did, then that's your problem. I mean, I've had friendship issues that maybe for over a year, for more than a year, I won't talk to a friend and then we'll come back together. It's not because they lied to me. Maybe because they didn't respect me as much as I respected them, or I was trying to advise them on something and they turned into an enemy and stuff. And all those petty stuff, they can come back, apologize, and I see that they're really sorry, yeah, and become friends again. Might not be that close. That's one thing about friendship breakup and argument and stuff. That's why I try to avoid that as much as possible, because even in marriages, I've noticed that whenever people have a fight, it's either they are worse when they come back together. The bond is worse than before, or it is better than before. It can never be on the same spot. You can't go back as it used to be. Either you make an effort to make it better, or you just let things be like that. Just have less affair attitude to things. So you could do anything to me. You could do, I don't know yet, but for now, the deal breaker for me in friendships is lying. Because once you lie to me, you don't rate me now. Especially if I rate you enough to tell you 102% of the truth. The truth more than you would even ever ask me for. Being so truthful to you to the extent that I give you my all. Okay, I understand that everybody does not have the same level of stuff. But then I ask you a question and then, oh, I find out that something is not how I thought it is. See, for my friends that listen to my podcast, or anybody that is about to be my friend around me, let me just drop this tip for you if you want to be around me. If you notice in our conversations that I come and in a confrontational manner, in a very nice way, anything, I ask you a question, please don't lie to me. For your own good and for my own good, so that we don't end up hating each other. Don't lie. Don't lie. I think one thing that anyone who has been, who has lived with me, or is that I will tell you, you will not beat me. Will you beat me? Will you kill me? I rather have my integrity than you do whatever you want to do. I'm very serious. Lying is one great thing. I don't know why I'm emphasizing on this lie thing, because I feel like some liars will listen to this and then they should have a change of heart. I could take something of my roommates, and even before they ask, I tell them that I took your thing. Or when maybe I skipped my mind and you ask, and I'm like, yes, I took it. I'm sorry I took it without your permission, or I could have left a text or something. But I didn't lie that I took it. I took it. And if it's something that you want me to replace because you're angry or because you don't want people touching your things, fine, I can replace it. But I will lie that I did not touch your thing. Especially when it's very glaring that you've caught me, and I will not lie. No, God will not allow me to find myself in that kind of situation. So if you lie to your friends, please stop. Your friends may forgive any other thing that you do. Some friends even forgive you snatching their boyfriends, or even still talking to their exes. But the moment you lie to them, you're on your own. No. So if you're my friend, please don't lie to me. If you ever want to be my friend, don't lie to me. Could do any other thing, I could forgive you. Jesus gives me the grace, but don't lie to me. So the next thing I'd like to just say is that, do you know when to move? You know, do you know when to move? Do you know when to stop? Like, how do you appropriate things in your friendships with your friends? Like, do you know when you're overdoing? See, let me tell everybody, overdoes in overdo. I don't know what's wrong in my English today. People will take it like that. Cause man, people used to overdo. Even me, I know I sometimes used to overdo in my friendships. But the question is, when that thing comes that, guy, what's in church? You don't overdo. What's in this up? Like, how do you know? And how do you comport yourself? That also goes back to the fact that you have to always pay attention. I feel like when you're learning something, it's the hardest. But by the time you master the art, it becomes a part of you that you don't even know that you are doing it. It's like when you're learning how to drive. It seems like hard work. But
at some point, you don't even know that you're driving again because your body has gotten so used to it. You have trained your body to get used to it. So once you train yourself to understand, to pay attention to details, it becomes a part of you that it just slips in and you're like, oh, okay, then you readjust and you move on with your life. It's not a big deal anymore. Because I can hear some people saying, I know some people will be saying, how will I just be paying attention all the time? It's work, it's hard work and stuff. See, if you don't talk to yourself the more, if you don't tell yourself the truth the more, who do you want to tell you the truth? Nobody has time. Everybody's growing. Everybody's trying to build themselves. Everybody's trying to be better. So if you don't want to be better for yourself, I don't know for you.
Another thing I want to really point out on friendships is that you should not just think everybody is the same. I think I said it before from the example I've cited that, yeah, everybody, 90% of the time when you first meet people, they're always very nice to you. So don't just conclude that that's who they are. Some people don't know how to greet, you know, they know how to like introduce themselves and all, but don't always base it on that. Don't be like me that made that mistake all my life until recently I started readjusting. I told you guys I met some shitty people too along the week, as much as I met some good people. Now, that shitty person that I met, someone with a very bad character that I met, when she first came, hi, how are you, and stuff. So imagine if I was that same old self of mine, that, when I meet somebody and we vibe, we even talk, all of us date together, we're talking and joint talk, and then something happened, and I feel like, this person is cool. And then I just assume and I start creating scenes in my head of who they are. Then day two, day three, they start disappointing. They start fucking up or breaking out and I start blaming myself. No, I save myself that stress. I just go with the flow. I don't usually judge people from the introductory part. Because if you've written letters, you know that introductory part is like bread and beans. It's very easy. You see that second to fourth paragraph, that's where the problem is. So that's when you start knowing people that, Shele, did this one sabi abi, you know, sabi at all. Did this person understand the question? Or this person understand the logic? You feel me? I'm sure you do. Thank you for coming along with me as we just dissect all of this. So don't just judge everybody the same. A pro tip I've dropped in case you did not notice is that don't start judging people from the introductory part. Skip that part. Skip it. Everybody's always nicer in the beginning. 90% of the time. I'm saying 90% because I've come across people that at first I didn't like them because they were not really nice to me. But it turned out to be one of the best people that I have in my life. Like, because some people sometimes always have anxieties or they don't know how to introduce themselves or they don't know how to give a first good impression. But later on, they know how to like continue. But some people, it's only that first good impression that they know how to give. You see that second, third, seventh, 19th good impression, they don't have it. They didn't teach themselves how to do that. So just know that you don't judge people first by the cover, good or bad. Then I want to ask, do you set boundaries? Do you even have boundaries for yourself? Because everybody's always about, this person. It's always about the other person. It's always about, I'm setting boundaries for this person because I don't want this person to do this to me. So I'm like, are you setting boundaries for yourself? Don't hurt yourself. Don't do bad to yourself. Have a portfolio. Have a general ground rule-ish that you set that whenever you meet people, like, this is what they should see. Train yourself up to that extent that it's not so hard for people to know that, this person has rules and standards and principles and person has boundaries. So if I want to come into their life, I have to respect it. And also, if you're meeting with somebody that also has the same boundary, that has like mind to you, like you, to know that they have to set ground rules and boundaries and have principles and standards, it's going to be easy for people to like get along real fast, to know that, I have principles, they have principles. So what do we do? Where do we meet? How do we meet in the middle? The best set of people to work with in life are principled people. If you just move around with someone that does not even have bearing and distance, does not even have magnitude or direction, does not have both, it's just one, just they go anywhere, then it's going to be hard for you to start teaching them things. So make sure that in as much as you're trying to set boundaries for people, that they want to set rules for yourself too. that, okay, when I'm also going to step into people's lives, these are the things that I should do and I should not do. And at this certain time, these are the things I should do. I mean, I said I'm making mistakes, these are the things I should do. If you need to write it down, write it down. If you need to jot it down, if you need to constantly remind yourself until it sticks, practice makes perfect. Until it sticks, then you can and you should. One more important thing as we wrap up, as I drop some tips on this friendship issue, play your role and let them play theirs. Let people play their role. Don't play the role of one person should not be playing the role of two people in any relationship or friendship. It is GIGO. If it is garbage in, garbage out. If you're the only one putting in the effort, you're the only one, you will see that you're the one stressing yourself. It's a two-way something. Even though I understand that it cannot always be balanced, it cannot be equal. But if you understand that I'm okay with this person giving me 40%, I will add the remaining 10%. Or I'm okay with giving the 40% until I'm able to balance it. But the point is that I know you're not doing a whole 100%. That's just it. Play your role and let them play theirs. No go they jump, no go they cross express for person no fit even cross gutter for you. But growing adults, you need to know this. Because as you grow, you realize that it's not about the magnitude of crowd that you have around you that says whether you're a good friend or you're a good person or not. Because a lot of bad people have a lot of people around them. A lot of very shitty people have a lot of friends, a lot of people that they talk to. And that has not stopped them from being shitty people. So you can be a good person and have just one friend. Just one true good friend, and the rest are just mere acquaintances. Just workers, church people, coursemates, roommates, classmates. Neighbors. But you in your heart, you know that it's just one friend, one very good friend that you have, one person that you can trust to enter into your closet. Oluwa, wait till they do my English today. I don't understand. I know, Sabi. But really, let people play their role and you to play yours. And also ask questions. For example, if you're playing your role, or you're checking up on your friend, and then, or you're doing something and you feel left behind or something, always ask questions. Don't assume. Because in as much as we're trying to be good people, some people are going through a lot in their lives too, and it's not really easy. It's not that easy. It's not all that easy. So let's try to, understand people in the process. I pray that as we have listened to some of the tips I dropped for good friendships, God will help us. You see that today I did a good job on doing good talk on friendship, because I realized that on all of my other episodes of friendship or other spaces on Twitter that I've held and stuff on friendship, it was always coming like anger mode. I was quite angry at that time, I won't lie. But right now I'm really chilled. I really don't care. Anybody that does anyhow, like I already have my ground rules. I already adjusted. I already trained myself to know that. If you heard me from the beginning, you know I already learned from my mistakes and I have moved on. So I'm just going to drop rules for you. I'm just dropping things that have helped me so that it can help you, because I'm pretty sure it's going to help you. It's definitely going to help you. So let's answer questions. So this question is on this friendship episode. Somebody dropped a question on friendship episode, on this one that I'm talking about now. This person says, what do you think about friends that feel entitled to your skills as a copywriter? I get paid to write copies, but my friends expect me to write free for them and for their businesses, and they can't give their products for free. Do you think it is fair? Well, I don't think it is fair. I think that the first set of people that should encourage you, the first set of are the people that you first know. But we live in a world where the people that you first come, they are the ones that will criticize you more. They'll tell you, what are you doing? They'll make your ideas or whatever make you look like you're doing nonsense and you should quit. That, what the fuck are you doing? Stop. Those are the people that are supposed to encourage you, but they always put you down. So by the moment they see that you're already thriving and stuff, they want to do free work for you. Please, if your friends are selling markets, don't go to them to give you discounts. If at all anything, you're supposed to even add Jara on top when you're transferring the money to them, like, I support your business, my friend, keep thriving. Those little things matter. Because a stranger that is patronizing your friend will just buy their... They are the ones that won't be saying, discount, madam, discount. Or they'll be saying, can I pay off? They're the ones that are supposed to begin, and they're the ones that are supposed to, okay, let me try and keep a customer. But you are a friend. You are this person's friend. You're not supposed to make life miserable for them. I'm not supposed to be begging you to listen to my podcast. If at all anything, if you're my friend, you're supposed to be putting the work out there, putting the word out there. Oh, have you listened to this podcast? Have you heard this? Oh, I have a friend that does a great job on... Do you have Spotify? You have Apple? Please subscribe and put your notifications up. It does not take you 2 minutes to talk to people about somebody's work. Doesn't take you 2 minutes to be like, oh, if there's a conversation about a friend I'm worried about my skin. I have a friend that is into skincare and stuff. You could talk to her and then she'll prescribe what she should use for you. Oh, I have a friend that does a podcast. Oh, I have a number of somebody that sews really nice dresses. I can't count how many times I've helped my friends. And I'm not trying to even chase clout or ask them to thank me. I don't even go to them, tell them that, oh, I gave somebody your number. Oh, somebody's going to text you, because I don't need to. It's what you should do as friends. These are one of the things I'm saying. And most of the people that want you to do free work for them are the ones that when they have their own businesses, they will not even want you. They want you to dare tell them to even cut any price down for them. Please, let's be good people to our friends. Let us try to be good. It's not fair. I've seen a lot of my friends complain. Even me, I've complained about how my friends have treated me. If I've seen 100% bullshit in this podcast work that I'm doing, 90% has come from my friends. In fact, 99% have come from my friends. And it's very painful to chop a laugh from your friends. It's very painful to chop L from your friends. I mean, I have friends that are supporting my pod with money. I have people that are atting me on Twitter and social media every time, sending me stuff that will help me grow, doing their own thing in their little way to help me. Then there are some people that are trying to put me down because of their stupid esteem or whatever it is that's going on in their heads. Please, you are the last person to make life miserable for your friends that are entrepreneurs and they are busy. You are the last person. When they blow, you now come and start raising shoulders that you know them. But when they were struggling and in the gutter and background and stuff, you didn't help them do anything. As little as reposting people's stuff, as little as, oh, taking the link, copying it and posting like, oh, I think you should check this thing out, it will not take you anything. But you guys are always kissing celebrities' asses out there. Celebrities that don't even know you. People that already built and made that, whether you post their stuff or not, they don't care. But your friends that are sending you link every now and then just for you to help them. Mind you, if you're helping your friends, they don't necessarily have to know. You can be that silent guardian angel. I know that some people really love and support me, and they're not always in my DMs telling me that they've listened, but I know that every time they listen, every time they tell people about my work, every time they send people my number, people are like, oh, I got a number from this person, I really like your job, thank you. There are some days that I feel down, that I cannot even do my work. I can't write. I can't prepare for a podcast. But when I get a message from somebody or something, it keeps me going. You don't know the little things that you do for your friends. They go a long way. There are some friends that I don't think that in the nearest future, no matter if they offend me, I would always forgive them, because I've seen what they've done to me. And I know that nobody's above mistake. Anybody can flaw. Anybody can offend anybody. I'm raising my voice because this issue is very painful. It is very, very painful. Nobody's trying to kiss your ass. Your friends are not supposed to kiss your ass. Your friends are not trying to, if anything, they're supposed to help them. I remember one time I created a group chat. I'm not supposed to beg you. If you have my personal number, you are my friend. So to an extent, I'm not supposed to come and kneel down and beg you that, please, can you help me do this thing? If I thought you're supposed to be like, oh, is there anything I can help you do? I'm not supposed to be selling something 10,000. You want me to sell it 2.5 for you? No. You're supposed to actually give me 12.5 or 15K that, okay, I'm supporting your business with this remaining small change. Even if it is a one-time patronage you're going to give to me, it's going to go a long way. I will never forget what you did to me, or what you did for me, rather. Please, if your friends are into business, try and prioritize their stuff. Make it like your own. Because the time will come to that you need people's help, and it's these little things that you've done before, people that will come as karma for you, because there's good karma. I don't want to dwell on this thing, Jerry, but please, this person that asks, please don't do free work for anybody. If your friends want to patronize you, they should. Don't do half-paid work for anybody. Everybody that wants, if anything, your friends should respect that you are doing something on your own. You're not prostitute, you're not doing any bad thing, any social bad vices or something. You're working hard for yourselves, cracking your head. Do you know how hard it is for somebody to do something on social media? I have to crack your head to make sure that, oh, it comes out perfect, it comes out good. I have to be in the right state of mind to do this and that. Oh, I'm putting my work out there, and you come into my DM and be like, please, can you cut down the price for me? I don't think I can ever do that to any of my friends. If I do, if I say, maybe I'm joking, because I know I've seen how hard it is. If any of my friends is selling something, if I cannot prioritize, do you know how bad I have many friends that are doing some things? Maybe there's some friends that are into hair and stuff that I feel bad that I cannot patronize them to the extent that I want. I want my friends to be happy that I patronize them. That's why I don't want this track to be over here, because when I have money, so that when I resume, I'll just say, my dear, how much is that your lash extension? Come and do it for me. Oh, my sweetheart, I have this dress. Please come and sew it. I can have like 4 friends. I'll drop one clothes for each. Oh, yeah, so how much is your money? Oh, yeah, now take. Even if you want them to beat down the price for you, it's not supposed to be to a ridiculous amount, please. And if because they don't want to beat down the price for you, does not mean that they are bad people. It's their work. It's their business. It's how they feed and take care of themselves. They are not bad people. Thank you and God bless you. Please, that one thing to talk about on this episode. Let's be good friends. I beg. Let's be good people. I beg. Secondly, this question is from the family episode. This person says your uncle has been there for you and your family for the longest, especially you and all of your siblings. Then all of a sudden, your uncle has issues with your dad because he says he's ungrateful for what he does. Okay, if I understand this question, your uncle, okay, you're lucky to be from a family where you have extended family members that care for you like their own. First off, congratulations, you're lucky, because most of us don't have that luxury. It's only our mommy and daddies that we know. We don't have aunties and uncles that necessarily send us money, because everybody feels, well, everybody has their own bukata and responsibilities, so everybody should carry their own. But you have an uncle, or you have family members that you can call and be like, oh, you don't even need to call them. They know that you need these things, because I feel like that is supposed to be. They know that you need these things and they send it to you. Congratulations to you at first. Then, as to how you should, I think you should, this, the thing is that whatever is happening between you and your uncle, I mean, between your dad and your uncle, is none of your business. You should be striving to make sure that whatever he is still doing for you, for whatever reason it is, should not stop. You could pick up if you are too scared to talk on the phone, or if you can go and visit and just summon courage and talk to him that, see, I'm sorry, sir, for what's going on between you and my dad, but please, like, just have conversation with him, like, try to find out what's going on. Be matured. I know some of us are so timid, so shy to talk to people that are not our friends. We feel like family demand too much respect, so we don't know how to talk to them and stuff. I understand. I've been there. I am even still there. I don't know how to talk to my daddy's brothers and uncles and cousins and stuff. I don't know how to do it, because I feel like all of them in my daddy's family, they're very scary, basically. I don't know. So I don't really know how to talk to them. I'm still trying to even talk to my own father, let alone talk to other people. Feel me? So I understand if you don't know how to, but just summon courage. If it's to leave a text or send a voice note, or to always check, I don't be like, thank you, sir, for what you do for us and stuff. But your major goal is to make sure, if you can't resolve, if you feel like it's something that's beyond you, that even your mom or anybody cannot resolve between them, your major goal should be that whatever it is your uncle is doing for you should not stop. Because if it stops, if that's the end of the bond. It has severed every ties that you guys have. So your aim, your goal should be that nothing should ever come between you and your uncle. Like, nothing should ever stop you people from like, because see, when somebody sends you money, somebody gives you gifts, it's a sign of bonding. It's a sign that, oh, I care, I think about you, I appreciate you. If you go and read about gifting and sharing and stuff, you see that what I'm saying is true. So it's a sign that he cares. Even as he's fighting with your dad, he still loves your dad, and he loves even you, your dad's children more. So your own major goal is that your own bond with your uncle should not die. I just pray that you find more wisdom to do the right thing, and just, even if it's through you that they will stop fighting, I pray that it happens. God will help you, Jerry, my dear. Someone asked if I would like to invite people on my podcast, because if yes, and they would like to be on it because they are a huge fan. Yes, sure, why not? If you would like to be on the pod, hit me up. You can send me an email or something. I've always said it that I want people to be on the pod because I know it's going to be all vibes. And I trust that my listeners are very smart people. And for this person to ask me this question, this person is quite close to me, so they want to be on it. So why not? Let me know. Hit me up. And lastly, this is from the dating. This is from the dating relationship I be dating episode, yeah. So this person says, don't you think it is necessary for a guy to ask a girl out officially, regardless of how fine and cool they've been, like how their talking stage has been going, instead of just assuming? My darling sister, if he has not asked you out, you guys are still talking. It's just a friend. Men know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. Don't. And if you feel like it's being too long, and you want to ask him, that guy, how far? What are we doing? Do you want to date me or what? So that you know whether you are wasting your time or not. If somebody has not asked you out, you guys are just, you're just there. You're just in talking stage. And you continue to be in, some people have been in talking stage for 20 years. So if you know you don't want to be in that kind of long talking stage and you really like the person, take the bold step to have a conversation with them, talk to them, ask them. And whenever, yeah, mind you, this is one thing I do. Whenever I'm having conversations with people like this, I study their, I like to do it physically. I study their body language. I look at how they are, their tone and stuff. Because sometimes through text, you might not really understand. But once you hear their voice, at least, or you see their body gesture and body language, then you'll be able to know whether you have been fooling yourself all along. God will help us, all of you that are in a relationship, all of you that are dating. God will help you people. Amen. Talking stage is really is a thing. You invest all your energy and your strength and your mind and your emotions into it, and you're waiting, when will this guy ask me out? Let him ask you. If he does not ask you, you're just doing yourself. I beg. So before we quickly go, I just want to put out some tips that I saw while I was using the internet, and I feel like it's going to be of a good use to my peoples. So it's signs you're outgrowing a toxic relationship or a friendship. So when you see yourself going through any of these signs, just know that, yeah, you're becoming a big boy or a big girl, and then, duh, you already have a hank of this thing, and then nobody's going to bullshit you again. So when you no longer are making any excuses for their bad behavior. Now, I quit some kind of friendships, and one of the things that helped me have the boldness to walk away from these friendships is the fact that I was no longer making an excuse for anybody's bullshit. Like, I always creating, you know, I told you I used to create scenes in my head. I'm the best in creating scenes in my head. So whenever somebody does something wrong for me, I just console myself by creating scenes in my head, making excuses. I think one time someone asked me, what's the biggest lie someone has ever told you in a friendship? That you knew that, this is bullshit. That you knew clearly that it was a lie. Okay, the person lied to me that they saw my missed call like 2 weeks later, or maybe a week plus later. Now, should I tell you why I didn't believe that and why I concluded that it was a lie? Everybody uses their phone all the time. There's Z. Even if you don't have data, you will use your phone for something one day, one time or the other. You will definitely see that red. That is a missed call. If you didn't see day one, day two. So it's going to take you. You've been using your phone. You've been making calls and stuff. You've been using your phone quite all right. They're not telling me like almost 2 weeks later that you just saw my missed call. Abba. Dear friend. Darling friend. No, they don't do that. So I just knew that this person is taking me for a mogul. So I just, from that moment, I just, you know what? Let everybody start being their father's names, I beg. So secondly, what once triggered you does not want to trigger you again. Like, what's triggered you is for maybe something that you just trigger you to make you want to talk or get angry, or something that will trigger a reaction from you no longer triggers a reaction. Going from the example I gave about the person that lied, that you saw my call before. Normally, I used to get angry that, oh, this person, blah, 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 blah. But at that moment, I was already giving up on them. So when they now even told me that they saw my call almost 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, okay, nice, okay, no problem. Cool. At that point, I just knew that I was I'd already given up on them. That, whoa. I don't think that I've given up on this person, Jari. Then thirdly, you're tired of holding on just making them happy, thereby prioritizing your own peace. Like, in the sense that you're always about, oh, I want this person to be okay, I want this person to be fine. You're always putting them first instead of putting you don't even remember yourself. You feel like once this person is okay, then you are okay. But at some point when you see that this person is too toxic for my liking, and then I'm going a 100 miles for you, an extra mile for you, and you're not even going an inch for me. You just prioritize your own peace, and you're like, you know what? Anything will remain and you go take. Let me sort myself out first. So that's one of the signs for you to know that you're already outgrowing a toxic relationship or a friendship. Fourthly, while you were once holding on to them out of fear, you now let go. Yeah. Maybe when you're already realizing that this person is toxic, but you're still holding on, that maybe they will change, maybe something will happen, maybe there will be a silver lining. At some point, you're like, you know what, fuck that. They change or they don't change, that's none of your business anymore. So you just go, I'm done. Like, you don't hold on again. You just fight for your own inner peace. You just let go. Instead of holding on out of fear, you just let go. And lastly, you are tired of holding back your real self to make them comfortable. There's sometimes that you want to react. You know, love sometimes, or liking of somebody sometimes, makes you hold back on a whole lot of things. You stop doing a whole lot of things and you start doing some other new things. But at some point, when you see that a person is not worth it, or they don't appreciate how much you've done for them, they just automatically, you just automatically just know that, I don't have to make somebody that's not making me comfortable feel comfortable anymore. And in the end, you just walk away. Once you just overcome all of these 5 steps, you use the door. You use the door, basically. You exit. So I hope that you've enjoyed this 50 plus minutes of the Omniverb podcast. I hope to see you. And I am pleased to tell you that this is the last episode of the relationship series. Woo! Woo, 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 woo! A round of applause. Thank you guys for coming along with me for the series. It's been a fun ride. It's been a whole lot of emotions. It's been nice. It's like I welcome a whole lot of people into my world, my safe space, and all of that. I'm really glad that you guys have been loving my work. Make sure you share. Make sure you tell people. Make sure that at the end of this episode, you make it an intentional thing to want to become a good person and a better person. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Don't forget to follow me on all socials. And then if you have anything to tell me, you can send it to my email at oindamolaola1123@gmail.com. I don't know why I just said my email, but it's fine. Anyways, follow me on all socials at RemyTheOmniVet. Don't forget that I love you, but God loves you most. To be a good person every time and any day. Bye.